Episode 257, Excavating the X-Men. Three different readings, three different twists.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are looking for some X-Men.
Yes, we are going to talk about the X-Men. I don't know what... Ben, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Christian.
Yeah, it's good to be back on the show.
This week, a movie that I am really looking forward to, Days of Future Past, the next X-Men movie, basically a sequel to First Class, which we both loved, coming out. So I thought...
Well, it is a sequel to First Class, but it's also a sequel to everything slash a fixing of the movies that they decided they didn't like.
Okay, so in preparation for this episode, I've been reading through different things about the X-Men movies, and none of the continuities, even in the ones before First Class, lined up perfectly.
No.
I almost just think they should just forget about it. Just have First Class be the first one. I know now they're bringing some of the actors back from those old movies, but they're from from an alternate future.
I agree with you, but that ship has sailed.
Because of what we're about to see?
Yeah. Whether it's a good movie or not. I mean, they decided not to go that way.
Yeah, I wish they would have just let it go.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that. I've got some notes on continuity errors. I got some notes in the movies. I've got some notes about my first exposure to the X-Men.
I think we... What you really want to talk about, though, is you want this to just be like a two-hour love letter to The Last Stand, right?
Basically.
You do love that movie.
We'll have to wait and see. We're ranking all the X-Men movies on this episode.
That's true.
Let's hit the main topic music, and then we'll talk through our outline.
Wait, why are you pointing to me? You're the one who has it. Or are you just pointing in general? Just a general point? Not directed at me?
Sometimes I just point to, like, accentuate what I'm saying.
I understand. I thought the point was coming my way. And it wasn't.
Ben.
Yeah.
Last night, we were kind of talking through some... We knew that we were going to be doing this episode, but we didn't have an exact outline down. I threw you some ideas. You seemed to like it. You may have been faking it, but here's... here's the outline. Number one. Point one. We're going to talk about a brief history of the X-Men.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the creation of them. That'd be nice. Or how'd they get created, Ben? We'll find out. Then we're going to talk about...
evolved.
We'll talk about our first exposure.
No, I think that's the whole point, is they weren't created. They were evolved.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We'll talk about our first exposure to the X-Men. We'll give our top five X-Men heroes, top five X-Men villains.
Yeah.
Wrap things up by ranking the X-Men movies, giving our predictions.
That part of the episode is going to be rough, everyone.
Giving our predictions for Days of Future Past, the heroes and villains part.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you told me, I don't think I know enough about the X-Men to do the top fives. And I said, it might be fun just to hear how you come up with your answers.
Okay.
So let's dive in. Ben, what do you know about the history of the X-Men?
Well, Stan the Man came up with them, and metaphor for racism. And there's lots of them. And got Wolverine and lots of people like him. And I find him kind of obnoxious myself, but he's around to stay. Kind of the face of the franchise, so to speak.
I would say that.
You got Professor X.
Mm-hmm.
He's roving around that wheelchair of his.
Yeah.
Magneto, who has a very descriptive name because, in fact, his power, everyone, in case you didn't know,
is magnet power. Master of magnetism.
Cyclops. It's an X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Jean Grey. Storm. Beast. Nightcrawler.
Just keep going.
Archangel. Angel.
Mm-hmm.
There are two different ones.
Same guy.
No. There's the girl Angel.
Oh, from First Class?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that character exists in the comics.
She does. Okay. I found out.
All right.
Darwin, Havoc, Sabretooth, Mystique, Emma Frost.
I love this.
Iceman.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Not Flamethrower. Firestarter.
No, what?
Firebug.
That's not one.
Fireman.
Pyro?
Pyro. The Juggernaut.
You're doing pretty well. Yeah. I think you know a lot about the X-Men. I don't know why you're so worried.
Sebastian Shaw. Other X-Men.
Just keep throwing
Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, there you go.
Colossus.
Let's take a break from that. We'll come back. We'll come back to that.
I didn't think you were were going to let me keep going that long. That was not a compelling radio.
So X-Men number one, as you mentioned.
And that was all from memory. I think it's important people know.
No, I was not reading a list.
No,
you were not. Yeah. It was written by Stan Lee, but art by Jack Kirby. And back in those days, they really created together. So Stan Lee gets a ton of the credit, but poor Jack Kirby. People need to remember him as well. So,
Here's to Jack Kirby.
Here's to Jack Kirby.
Maybe we'll have the Jack Kirby quote of the week.
Let's have a Jack Kirby episode. That's happening. Okay, we'll do it right after the Alan Moore one.
You know how... Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. I can get on board with that.
Yeah. X-Men number one was cover date September 1963. So been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, they did address racism during its time. Nowadays, people really bring in the kind of like...
You can say it.
People that are mad about homophobia. That's what I was trying to. I was trying to think of it. I wasn't not.
I thought you were trying to think of the word gay.
No, I wasn't not trying to. Yeah, I was
people who do the.
I was trying to think of the word homophobia. Yes, yeah, now they kind of address homophobia in their comics. So yeah, any place where there is a people group who isn't being treated fairly, it's kind of a civil rights type issue. Bam, the X-Men are addressing it.
There is the metaphor only goes so far, and that's one of the things that I think maybe makes X-Men a little interesting, is that maybe there's some valid reasons why you wouldn't want to treat them as fairly as maybe you otherwise would.
So you think it might be, like, it's kind of good that...
Well, like, take the opening of X-Men 2. You have Nightcrawler, who basically, like, poofs his way into the Oval Office...
To assassinate the president.
That's a problem.
But he wasn't under, he was under mind control, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, but it's just the fact that you now have people who have those abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they want to or not, they can poof their way all over the place.
Hey, I started watching X2, but I wasn't able to finish it before this episode. How did that resolve? Who was he controlling him? Was it Stryker that was making him
do that?
People
that were controlling him.
Okay, so you don't remember either.
No.
Okay. So you're saying there is a actual moral dilemma here, that maybe it's not so bad to try to keep a shorter leash on these X-Men, these mutants with powers.
Well, I mean, yeah, think about it. Like, if people like that actually started to appear, I mean, we as audience want to say, no, they're the X-Men. We trust them.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, take somebody like Rogue, who you touch her, you die.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's a health. I don't want her in my kid's preschool class. You know,
mm-hmm.
Nightcrawler.
She put her first boyfriend into a coma
exactly.
just by one kiss.
Yeah. And, you know, some of them are fairly innocuous, like, Wolverine. He can grow and he has the claws and everything, but.
Well, he doesn't grow. He heals.
Well, grow back.
Okay. Good. Yeah, he has the claws. Bone claws.
Bone claws. Yeah. So that's not nearly as. I think you'd have to help us take it on a case by case basis. And I think sometimes it's unfortunate because maybe the comics have done this, but it seems like for as interesting as and important as the metaphor is, maybe they're missing what would be a far more interesting topic, which is the moral dilemma presented by this universe.
I bet there's some writers that have addressed it well. I maybe haven't read as many X-Men comics to know that, but I bet that's been addressed.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Can you name the original five X-Men? So right now, the Marvel Universe is known for having like... a ton of mutants everywhere.
Yeah.
But there were just five original X-Men.
Cyclops.
That's right.
Jean Grey.
That's right. And she was going by the name... Do you know what code name she was using?
Phoenix.
Nope. Marvel Girl.
Oh.
Okay. So you got two.
Havoc.
Nope. He was not one. That's
Iceman.
Iceman is one. Havoc is Cyclops' brother. So that's
nice.
Close. Two more.
Not Wolverine.
No.
I don't know.
Angel.
Okay.
Beast. Those are the five original. The original.
Did I mention Beast in my countdown?
You did.
Oh, good.
The original explanation for the name X-Men, as provided by Professor Xavier himself, is that mutants possess an extra power, one which ordinary humans do not. That's why I call my students X-Men, for extra power.
Oh, I think what most people think is they used to be men, and now they're X-Men.
Oh, really? No, I always thought it was because... Professor X just named the team after himself.
Oh.
And then later they tried to say it's because the thing that gives them their mutant abilities is the X gene.
I guess that could be. It's all made up, so I guess if it is the X gene, I mean, we could just go with that.
So you had mentioned Wolverine. Was he on the first team? Well, it's interesting. Over 10 years after the first issue of X-Men came out, they had a brand new team of X-Men, led by Cyclops, but still new members. It was giant-sized X-Men number one, a cover date back in 1975, written by Len Wein, artist Dave Cockrum, and it introduced the team, or added to the team, Wolverine,
Storm,
Nightcrawler, Colossus.
Nightcrawler and Colossus.
You know, Nightcrawler, we'll come back to him. Interesting story. I'll tell you right now. Interesting story about Nightcrawler. The person that created him actually created him while working for DC Comics and made this character to be a part of the Legion of Superheroes.
Whoa.
But DC didn't really like the character, didn't want to use him, so the artist just kind of had him, you know, didn't have anything to do with him. Then he all of a sudden he's working for Marvel, then he had a new mutant, bam, Nightcrawler.
Azrael.
Yep, you got another one. That's a good one. Any others that you want to think of?
Ooh.
Azrael is a villain, though.
I know, he's Nightcrawler's brother, Dad.
Yeah, that's right. Good job.
Distant relative.
One of the first X-Men books I ever bought was in 1991, and it also relaunched the team, but they split the team into two factions. Blue team and yellow team. Blue team was led by Cyclops.
That's yellow, no surprise since he wears blue.
Yeah, yellow team was led by Storm. Yeah.
Storm's the worst. Can we just get that out there?
Why? Why is she the worst?
She's just annoying.
But why?
I don't know. I don't like her.
She's not my favorite, so I'm not offended.
Yeah.
Did you know she married the Black Panther once?
No.
And they got divorced.
Oh, man.
She dated tons of guys in the Marvel Universe, so watch out for Storm. Let's talk about
I would not date her.
You know, we're going to go full spoilers for comics, for movies, and anything that we know we're going to talk about. Tell me your first exposure to the X-Men.
Oh, it's probably the cartoon back in the day.
Totally.
I wasn't allowed to watch it.
What? Why? Yeah,
because I don't think my parents quite understood the difference between superpowers and witchcraft.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So that led to some unfortunate misunderstandings and the X-Men cartoon being banned from our household.
I totally agree. The animated series was instrumental in my interest in comics. And so I think, I'm pretty sure I didn't start buying comics until after I was into the X-Men series. And I bought X-Men comics, bought some Spider-Man. I mean, I always liked those characters, but the animated series, I loved how it was serialized. And so they would often have previously on the X-Men.
Right.
You have to know part of the story to be able to pick up on what's going on.
You have to.
That was awesome. And then Days of Future Past, which we're about to see movie wise, this storyline in the animated series was my favorite. I loved it. It sucked me in.
Now Days of Future Past was a comic storyline, right?
Yeah, it was in the '80s, and then the animated series picked it up and now movie form coming soon.
All right.
Did you ever read the comic?
No.
I actually have it over there if you want to borrow it.
Rick told me it was awful.
Okay, so I guess I'll be keeping it then.
Toad.
Oh, you're going to name some more? Okay.
No, I'm just naming them as they come.
Okay, that's fine.
Played by Ray Park of Star Wars fame.
Yes, Maul.
Darth Maul. Yeah.
So after I was kind of getting into the X-Men comic or the cartoon, then I ended up buying some X-Men comics. Like I mentioned, I'd bought that one from 1991. I also started picking up the comics just in time. It was like, I think I was on and off, but then when I really started buying comics regularly was right before the Age of Apocalypse storyline.
Oh, that's coming soon.
This was huge.
Yeah.
This storyline. So I think I mentioned this to you off the air, but if somebody asked me which story would you want to see in movie form from all of X-Men history, my top choice would probably be Age of Apocalypse, but my second choice would be Days of Future Past. So they're both happening. Days of Future Past this Friday. Apocalypse.
You are winning.
2016. I know.
How close is Days of Future Past going to be to the comics?
I have no idea.
Because sometimes they just take the name.
Yeah.
And it has no resemblance to the actual comic story.
I have no idea. I mean, there's some. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Because that was the case with First Class, wasn't it?
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But Age of Apocalypse, you know how, you know, listeners, if you're longtime listeners, you know I love parallel universes. And so this one, Age of Apocalypse, has time travel and parallel universe. Basically, the son of Professor X goes back in time to kill Magneto so that he was never a nuisance for Professor X and the X-Men.
Yeah.
But he makes a mistake. And because back in the past, Professor X and Magneto were friends, his own father saves Magneto and sacrifices himself. So the son of Professor X killed young Professor X, meaning that the X-Men were never formed. And then Apocalypse, the huge villain, is
Apocalypse.
Able... Yeah. Exactly. You got one. He's able to take over the whole world. And Magneto actually starts a group of X-Men instead.
Wow. But
not as good as Professor X's, because we're living in then the Age of Apocalypse. So Marvel did a really brave thing. They shut down all their regular X-Men books, every title, and they only released ones that were in this alternate dimension.
That took some strong courage, considering that nobody was reading comics in the 90s. And
what? That's outrageous. I was reading.
Yeah.
I mean, the 90s brought me not only the Age of Apocalypse, but also the much-beloved Spider-Man Clone Saga.
Yeah.
With Ben Reilly's Scarlet Spider. I love that one.
Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, Gambit, Rogue. That's it for now.
So, Age of Apocalypse, that ran 95 to 1996. Ben, have you ever read anything from Age of Apocalypse?
Nope.
Are you interested in borrowing my collection of it?
Maybe.
Yeah, let me go grab it for you real quick.
Oh, my. I'm out of X-Men to list. You're leaving me hanging. I have no X-Men. Just start up Magneto, Professor X.
What about Jubilee?
Jubilee! William Stryker, he's not an X-Men. Peter Dinklage is playing someone.
There you go.
The Juggernaut. Holy crap, I'm not reading that. That's huge.
Yeah. That's the complete collection.
I thought it was going to be like a little thing.
No, it's pretty big.
There's no way I'm going to read this.
What? You just said you would.
Yeah, when I thought it was like this.
How many? Look at what it collects.
I'm doing pretty good at the reading list tonight. So, collecting Uncanny X-Men number 320 through 321. X-Men 40 to 41, Cable 20, X-Men Alpha, Amazing X-Men 1 through 4, Astonishing X-Men 1 through 4, Factor X 1 through 4, Gambit and the X-Ternals, that is X-Ternals, 1 through 4, Generation Next 1 through 4, Weapon X 1 through 4, X-Caliber, again that is X-Caliber, 1 through 4. They're awful fond of these four issues.
Well, the 1 through 4, because it was for 4 months that this storyline ran.
X-Man 1 through 4, X-Men Omega, Age of Apocalypse the Chosen, and X-Men Ashcan 2.
It's called Ashcan?
That's what it says.
That's weird. Yeah, so that's the collection. I've never actually read it in this form. I read it in comic form as a child.
Well, and if I really love the movie in 3 years or whenever it's coming out, yeah. I will... consider it.
I did buy a lot of these in issue form, but I just really wanted to have the collection. This is the fattest collection of comics I own, or I mean, like, you know, collected comics.
That is a mighty collection.
It's not a trade paperback. It's a hardcover.
It's a hard paperback. No.
Nope.
It's a trade hardcover.
I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah.
I got it on sale, but look at the price of that.
Done. Let's see. $909. Oh, no.
What's wrong with you?
$100.
$125 before the sale I got it on.
Wait a second. Let me...
Did you really think it said $999?
Yeah, because that's how you figure out the price, right?
No. What? It's right there with a dollar sign. Gosh,
I'm not doing well tonight.
Did you see it? Are you still looking?
I got it. If we need to fill some time later, I can read through the list of creators.
All right.
On that, but we'll save that for now. Yes. Maybe a bonus feature at the end of the episode.
Tell me some other thoughts you have then when it came to movies.
Like,
don't rank them, but just
in
like,
general,
it came out.
X-Men movie. Yeah. Okay.
The X-Men movie started to come out in 2000. And this, you mentioned on your, when we did the Save the Superhero movie, you felt like X-Men from 2000 was really what sparked the superhero renaissance that we're now living in.
Oh, totally. I mean, it was, you have to remember, I think the last big superhero movie before this, and it's hard to believe that there was a 4-year gap, but there was Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that basically almost killed superhero movies.
It did, essentially. So, X-Men, well, I don't think you'd find very many people who would say that it's the best superhero movie. Showed that you can do superhero movies and have them not suck.
Would you say it's one of the most important? If not, I mean, it's not the best. But
right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think if this movie tanked, you probably still would have gotten Spider-Man because it was in production. Mm-hmm. But it would have been bad.
I think when you think of the most important superhero movies, I'd say Superman 1, X-Men 1, and Iron Man 1. If Iron Man hadn't been good, the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe wouldn't exist.
Batman Begins.
That's one of the greatest.
No, that's one of the most important.
I don't know if it's one of the most important because I don't know that it influenced the creation of movies, because there were so many movies already
coming. Well, it still is, though. The whole, let's do it dark and gritty. Maybe not in a positive way.
I see what you're saying.
But, yeah.
Well, what about Batman from 1989? Is that important?
I think so.
Interesting. That would be an interesting conversation. Not our favorites, but the most important.
Yeah.
I think we just did it. That episode's over.
Certainly what's the most important if you're looking for movies to have Prince songs in them.
Wait, oh, Prince, yeah, for 89?
Yeah. Okay. He's a Minnesota guy, you know.
Well, we're going to talk about the movie, so I don't want to get too far into that. So let's go ahead and just rank our heroes and villains, shall we?
All right.
Now,
I've got some heroes and villains here.
All right, let me hit the music first, and then you can decide if you want to do heroes or villains first.
Okay. I'm thinking maybe heroes first.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown.
On the Sci-Fi Christian.
Featuring Ben DiBono.
And Matt Anderson.
I also have a list of four of the worst X-Men.
I don't have worst. Oh, no.
That's okay.
Okay.
I can just read them to you.
All right. Let's take your number five, Ben.
My number five hero is Nightcrawler.
Okay. And any reason on that?
Well, like I said, he makes an impression at the beginning of X-Men 2. You know, he just poofs around and... He's kind of a second-generation X-Men, so you gotta like that.
Yeah.
And he's blue.
Yes.
Which I guess doesn't really sway him one way or the other, but worth noting. Notable factor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked him.
You know, Nightcrawler is also on my list, so I'll just talk about him now. I'll tell you when he pops up on the list, when he appears out of nowhere.
Yeah,
Nightcrawler, something really good about him is he looks like a demon. But when it comes
to... blue demon.
Yeah, but when it comes to faith... Well, he's got kind of like a devil tail,
know,
all that stuff.
I'm just saying, how many blue demons do you see?
How many demons in general do you see?
What? I mean, none.
All right. And so, but when it comes to faith in comics, Nightcrawler is one of those characters that has some of the deepest.
He's a Catholic,
true,
isn't he?
Yeah, he is a Catholic.
Hey,
true faith.
Nightcrawler's number one
true
on my list.
Number five.
Crap! I want to move Nightcrawler up.
Yeah, so Nightcrawler, good Catholic, as you would say.
Yeah.
Really true to his faith. And he, in the comics, actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Spreads the gospel to Wolverine.
Oh. He tries to reorder my list.
He tries to save Wolverine.
So Nightcrawler's going to be number one?
It doesn't take, like, really well for Wolverine. But, you know, he got the message. He planted some seeds.
So I started with number one. The next ones are going to be four through two. My list. Matt, what's your number five?
Now, I should say, I have a list of eight here. I haven't ranked them, so I'm just going to be picking them randomly. Not so randomly. I'm really trying to narrow
it down. Well, if you're doing it randomly, you might as well just say Nightcrawler is your number five.
No, because he's pretty high on my list. I really like him. He might be my number one.
Oh, yeah. He's my number one.
I think I'm going to... Now, you said you hated Wolverine. I don't hate Wolverine. I had mentioned that the cartoon...
Well, I don't like him.
Right. The cartoon was my real first exposure to understanding the X-Men, but... I actually had a Wolverine action figure before I even knew really who the X-Men were.
I think I'd like Wolverine better if he wasn't in everything.
Did I ever tell you what I used to call Wolverine before? Because I didn't know his name. I had an action figure that my mom got me from a garage sale.
Yellow claw guy?
No, because he didn't have claws in the action figure.
Man.
But he was in yellow, the yellow and brown suit. And he had kind of like the horns on his head, right?
Because
it's his hair, but I couldn't tell his hair. So I just called this character Horns. And I play with, you know... Oh. So he played with Captain America and Spider-Man and those guys. So Wolverine, like him, he's not my favorite. I don't get why he's like such a popular character in Marvel. Because if you look at the top three characters, I think, in Marvel, it's Spider-Man, Wolverine, and then surprisingly Deadpool is one of the most marketable characters. All three of those have lots of different titles. What are your thoughts on that? Why is Wolverine? I have some thoughts, but I want to hear from you first. Why do you think Wolverine is such a huge character in Marvel?
I think he's the one who bucks the system, right? You know, he's a good guy, but he's not afraid to kind of walk off and do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he smokes cigars, so that is a point in his favor.
I think a big part, I agree. Yeah, kind of the anti-hero, people like that, especially in the late 70s and 80s when he was really taking off. He had a big mystery surrounding who he was. He had amnesia. He didn't really know his past. So little hints were dropped for this character all along. And I think people really grasped onto that idea of who is this guy that really wants to know more. So because we didn't know, kind of like with Lost, you know, there was this mystery that made us want to keep coming back. I think people wanted more and more of the Wolverine story so we could find out his origin. But then when they did reveal a lot of it, I think in a lot of ways he became less intriguing.
Yeah.
Number four.
Number four, Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde.
She's on my list too, so I'll just make her my number four.
Okay, she can go through walls. And...
yeah, she can phase through walls. She's a super, like, most people forget, she's a super genius. Did you know that about her?
Nope.
That's one of, I don't know if it's a power or if it's just her. She's super smart.
I picked her because she's one of the more attractive X-Men.
Right, but also a cartoon and also a child.
Oh. Kitty Pryde off my list.
So just let that sink in.
I didn't know.
I mean, she grows up. I mean,
right? Yeah, I read in Joss Whedon's one, she's grown up. That's what I remember. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, in Joss Whedon's run, she's awesome. More recently, she's taken on the mantle of one of the professors. So she helps lead some young X-Men.
She's totally grown up.
She's grown up now. So, okay. Number four. I also like Kitty. Yeah, she's had lots of different names. Shadowcat. Ariel.
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page. Juno. She's going to be in Days of Future Past. She's one of them in the comics. She is, right? You know how in Days of Future Past, we're going to see Wolverine's consciousness from the future go into the past? Are you familiar with it? That's in the commercial. You not seen the trailer?
I try to avoid watching trailers.
Oh, well, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. This is in the trailer. I feel like if I can handle it, it's not that big of a deal. That's
fine.
This is basically how they're communicating from future to past. Through Wolverine. That's why he's an important character.
Lame.
But in the comic, it's Kitty Pryde that travels. So,
well, I should have had her do it.
They should have. I don't know why they didn't. Number three, Ben.
Iceman. The reason I chose Iceman is because when I was young, I had an Iceman toy.
Yes.
And you put him in the freezer.
Oh.
Icicles appeared on him.
That's pretty amazing.
I was a big fan of that toy.
That's cool.
Kind of a nostalgia pick.
I mean, that's why I picked Wolverine. Iceman is funny. He's one of the originals. He's friends with Spider-Man.
He got there first before Gambit.
And for what?
Rogue.
What do you mean by that?
He dated her first.
Are you basing that in the comics or the movies?
Both.
In the comics, he dated her before Gambit?
He did.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, see the things you learn. He's one of the top five X-Men.
Did you know in recent comics, Kitty Pryde and Iceman were dating?
Yeah.
So
she was dating Colossus for a while, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. All right. Oh, Kitty Pryde. Another thing that's cool about her, she has a pet dragon.
Mm.
I don't know if it's a dragon so much as an alien that looks kind of like a dragon.
That must be it.
But Lockheed, that's kind of cool. Okay. I'll take my number three.
Number three?
My number three is Bishop from the future. Mostly because I just love that time travel story, Days of Future Past. So I hope the movie... does it justice.
Is he going to be in the movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, Bishop.
his power...
neglected to list.
Bishop's power is that he can absorb energy, kind of like Sebastian Shaw. So if you shoot him with something, it's not going to work. He's just going to absorb it and shoot it back at you.
Whoa. Yeah, I suppose they did run out of powers eventually.
He was also one of the leaders in the revolt in the future. That didn't go so well. They had to go to the past to try to stop things, but still, good try.
Oh.
Okay, number two, Ben.
Beast.
Okay.
How about Beast?
Why do you like Beast?
Well, he's hairy. He's blue.
Yeah.
I guess I tend to gravitate towards the blue characters. He was one of the better characters in First Class. He was one of the few bright points in The Last Stand, Kelsey Grammer. Who doesn't like Beast? Hangs upside down.
I love Beast. Super smart again. I like how he was one of the original X-Men, but I feel like he didn't quite learn what Professor X was trying to get across when it comes to mutants and humans can coexist. He was really obsessed with trying to cure the mutations. And so trying to cure it and injecting himself with what he thought would be a cure is what actually turned him blue.
I know. I saw First Class.
Yeah. And so that's also in the comics. And so,
yeah.
And his mutation is one of the more unique ones because he's continually changing, whereas most people are kind of set, like, this is my power. His blueness and even how he looks has changed from what we saw in the cartoon to in recent years kind of more cat-like, and now he's changing more. He looks kind of more simian, kind of ape-like. So Beast, interesting character. Yeah. Well respected even amongst humans.
Right. It's a smart guy. Number two.
For my number two, I'm gonna actually, this is a tough one.
You can do
it. I'm gonna take Nightcrawler off my list. He should be. He's
what?
Up only because we've already talked about him, and I have multiple people I want to list through here. Man, this is a tough one. I guess.
That's why I rank.
Okay, I guess I'll go with Gambit.
Okay.
But, I mean, I did rank them. They're written in numbers,
not,
but then
they're
I'm
not ranked.
Sort of ranked. Number two will be Gambit.
Gambit.
I don't necessarily. So he was a thief, and then he turned good. He has some mystery to his background, much like Wolverine. At one point in comic history, Gambit was either equal to or even surpassed Wolverine's popularity, which is huge in the X-Men universe. Yeah. So he's a big character. I think his power is sweet. That's one of the main reasons I love him. Because he basically picks up an object, he can charge it.
Like a playing card, for instance.
That's what he tends to use, yeah. But he can use anything. Yeah. Charges it up with energy, throws it, and basically turns it into a grenade. Not a bad power.
Played by Tim Riggins in X-Men Origins
exactly.
Wolverine.
Exactly, yep. And just recently recast as Channing Tatum.
Tate!
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that's... Wow.
I think...
He doesn't... That alone should knock him off your list.
And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to a Gambit movie, even though... Channing Tatum is going to be playing him. I hope that it's good. So Gambit, number two. All right, what's your number one?
Well, Nightcrawler, of course. But really, Professor X is the one I'd written down. Gotta love that guy. He's bald. He's going around in the wheelchair. He's got cerebrum.
Cerebral?
Yeah.
No, Professor X is a jerk, man.
What's wrong with Professor X?
Anytime he doesn't like something or... Okay. He puts up mental walls in his students, like telepathic-wise, he messed with Jean Grey, which led to some problems with her like going crazy. He does mind wipes on people, where he just makes them forget things ever happened. He had a group of X-Men that died on a mission, and so instead of letting everybody just go through the grieving process, he mind wiped their existence from their memories.
Yeah.
There's lots of reasons why.
James McAvoy is awesome as Professor X.
The two actors that played him are outstanding.
Yeah.
Especially Patrick Stewart. But the actual character in the comics. James McAvoy. Professor X, a jerk.
Well.
Guess we'll have to agree to disagree.
Got tense there for a couple minutes. Number one.
I think Nightcrawler would have been my number one, but for the sake of conversation, I'll bring up a Dark Horse candidate.
So really, Nightcrawler is both our number ones, yep. Except that he isn't on either of our lists.
Yes. Now, my Dark Horse candidate, somebody who most people may not have even heard of, which is why I like to make him
number
one.
Did I list him earlier?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you ever heard of this character even? His name is Nate Gray. His code name is just X-Man.
Oh. I think I have heard of
X-Man. He's from the Age of Apocalypse. He's one of the characters.
X-Man.
Yeah, he was created for this series.
Yeah.
And in the Age of Apocalypse, of course, alternate universe, there were only, I think, three characters that crossed over from there into the main universe. And Nate Gray, X-Man, was one of them. In this alternate universe, he was created by Mr. Sinister. And Mr. Sinister used the genes of Jean Grey and Cyclops to create this guy. So technically, they're his parents. But not exactly, not in the traditional manner.
I understand.
Yeah, so X-Man.
You don't say anything more about what the traditional manner is, because it's a
Nate
family
Gray.
Show.
Okay, what do you think about him? For or more against him?
Well, I guess we'll find out when I watch X-Men Age of Apocalypse.
If he's even in there. They probably won't.
Oh, man.
Probably won't use that story.
Well, then I guess I have no opinion.
I've got some runners up.
I don't.
You've got the worst power.
Oh, Cyclops, Wolverine, Storm, Jean Grey. I don't like any of them.
Oh, take that slower. Number one.
Cyclops.
I also don't like him. Huge jerk. I used to like him because on the X-Men arcade game, do you remember that?
Yeah, we played it together.
Yes, we did. He was my character. Like, I didn't know the
we
X-Men.
We beat it together.
I remember. Yeah. On your, what?
PlayStation 3.
Yeah, on your PlayStation. So, I just randomly chose Cyclops and loved him then in that game. But in comics, movies, any medium, he's basically the worst.
Yeah. Actually, he's bad.
He's bad news. And he's kind of a villain nowadays in comics. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, man. Listen to this. Spoiler for a recent comic history. He lost it, basically. Got possessed by the Phoenix Force himself.
Yeah.
And then under its possession, murdered Professor X.
Oh.
Yeah. And now he's...
Well, that probably made you happy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then... and so now he's got a faction of X-Men, which are basically like... kind of gray characters. Are they good? Are they bad? Who even knows? So he's leading his own team of X-Men, and he's kind of the bad guy. Magneto is on his team.
What? Cable.
You like Cable?
No, I'm just listing X-Men.
Cable's cool.
That's just another one that came to mind.
All right. So number two, who do you hate?
Wolverine.
We talked about
overrated.
Number three.
Storm.
I do agree. Wolverine is overrated. I still like him, though.
Yeah.
Number three. Storm.
Obnoxious. Well, we already talked about her.
Yeah. Another one that was a thief when she was a kid.
Yeah.
Number four.
Jean Grey.
Oh, Jean Grey's not so bad.
She's the other end of that love triangle.
What's wrong with poor Jean Grey?
She's really annoying in the movies.
Okay. Yeah. That's true. But in the actual comics, tragic story.
Okay.
My runners up for good characters. Emma Frost. I actually kind of like her.
Wait. Isn't she a villain?
She was a villain with the Hellfire Club, but I can see where we're going with this. you can talk about her in a second, but for like the last 20 years or more, 25 years, she's been on the hero's side.
Okay.
And she's currently, she's recently been dating Scott, so of course she's on she's on his bad X-Men team.
Yeah.
Another guy I like, Colossus. All right, Ben. Well, should we hit the music again and go to a new top five?
I think so.
All right. Well, let's do this one. This is a special one just for you.
All right.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown.
On the Sci-Fi Christian.
Possibly featuring Ben DiBono.
It's possible.
All right, Ben. You're number five for best villain.
Well, I got to choose Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a lot about him, and I was kind of just randomly choosing villains to round out my list, but also because he has possibly the cheesiest line in Last Stand.
What does he say?
I'm the Juggernaut. You know, where he says a bad word that you're...
Thank you. Good. I'm glad. I didn't even... Okay.
And so he kind of helped bring down an entire movie, which is a very villainous act.
True. My number five, since you were asking, is...
But number five.
Is Mr. Sinister. I mentioned him earlier. He's kind of a...
Is he an X-Men?
Well, he's a villain of the X-Men, yeah.
Mr. Sinister?
Mr. Sinister. I remember in the X-Men animated series, the end of one of the episodes where they were kind of teasing that Mr. Sinister was coming up, they had this creepy line. He said, Sinister knows what your future holds.
Oh, my.
I was like, oh, that guy sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And so, he's like... really into gene manipulation, not Jean Grey, but like
Gene
manipulation.
Yeah.
So he does different experiments and trying to like perfect mutations, and that's why he created different, like in the alternate universe, he created X-Man. He thinks there's something special at Cyclops and Jean Grey, so he often wants to use their DNA for things.
Oh, to make
and I think he's
Nick Frost.
What?
Nick Grey.
Nate Grey, yeah.
Yeah.
He made him, yep. I think he might have raised the summer kids, Cyclops and Havoc, maybe.
A little weird.
Had something to do with their childhood, maybe adopted them or something. Yeah, he's bad news. Number four.
Banshee. No, I just remembered another name, so I was he's not my number four. My number four is Mystique.
Yep, Mystique.
Who was boring as crap in the original trilogy, but was actually quite interesting in First Class.
Mystique is on my list. I mean, shape-shifting power, awesome. Cool design with the blue. She's another one that kind of walks on. I mean, a lot of the villains nowadays, not Mr. Sinister so much, but...
Well, with a name like that.
When you look at Mystique or Magneto, it's kind of like, are they good? Are they bad? Emma Frost, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
She's one that kind of goes back and forth where sometimes she's good, sometimes she's bad, but she's always pretty cool. She's an assassin. Can't really trust her. No one really knows her, even though she goes by Raven Darkholm.
Yeah.
No one knows for sure that's her real first name.
We don't know.
So there's that. All right.
Number four.
My number four is kind of a combo one. Dark Phoenix or just the Phoenix Force in general. Because Dark Phoenix is Jean Grey under the possession of that Phoenix Force.
Yeah.
But man, the Dark Phoenix storyline, so good. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. From Last Stand.
Well, not that version. I mean, the X-Men movies ruined everything. So,
yeah.
The animated series did it well. The comics, of course, were awesome. Jean Grey has to die because under the power of the Phoenix, she kills an entire planet's population.
Yikes.
The Phoenix Force is maybe the most powerful force in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Or Galactus.
Or Apocalypse.
No, not Apocalypse. He is not as powerful as
Thanos.
Phoenix. Maybe Thanos. Who knows? Probably not, though. I'd say it's between...
Spider-Man.
Phoenix Force and Galactus. Spider-Man. Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Number three.
Number three, Emma Frost. Obvious reasons.
Yeah, she's good. She's like, first of all, She is good about crossing, you know, between good and bad. She has extreme telepathic powers, but also turns into diamond, so super strong. She's not on my list, but I agree. Yeah. She's not on my villain list, I should say.
Those weren't my obvious reasons.
I'll take my number three.
Number three.
Number three for me is Mystique.
All right.
Who we already talked about. Number two for you.
Number two, Sebastian Shaw. I loved him in First Class.
Yeah, he was good.
Don't know anything else about him.
I don't really know a lot about him either, so...
But
yeah, cool power.
Yeah.
He also absorbs energy, so yeah. There's that.
Sebastian, or number two for you.
Apocalypse. Super powerful, ancient mutant, maybe the oldest mutant that there is.
It's a big guy.
He, I don't even know his powers because he has so many powers. I'm not certain like what his main core power is that gives him the ability to do everything else.
Yeah.
I think he was born during the Egyptian times. That's when he started coming to power.
Technically,
mysterious ancient mutant.
Technically, we're still in the Egyptian times.
Ancient,
that there are Egyptians.
Ancient Egypt.
Okay.
Just to be more clear.
Okay.
Okay, number one.
Magneto.
Magneto for me,
too. Gotta love that guy.
I mean, he's a villain that not only does he really believe he's right and on the side of good, but sometimes as a viewer, you agree with him that maybe he is on the right side.
Yeah.
And so... he doesn't believe that humans and mutants can coexist, and so he just wants mutants to reign over them. And, I mean, I think partly he's right that it seems like humans can't accept mutants for some reason.
Michael Fassbender's amazing. Ian McKellen is amazing. Gotta love those guys. Gotta love this character.
Magneto also, this is underplayed, I think, but he is, I mean, when you rank the top-powered mutants, he is one of the most powerful mutants and beings on Earth. So watch
well,
out for
unless
him.
You're in a no metal area.
Yeah, if you're in like a plastic cell, then not useful.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. Well, that was nice.
Should we rank the movies now?
Let's rank those movies. Do you want to do another top list? It's more than top five. So let's just.
Well, not for me because I just to be clear, everyone, I have not seen X-Men Origins Wolverine, so it is not on my list.
Perfect.
We start at the bottom and work our way up. Worst movie first, best movie
Welcome
last.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown
on the Sci-Fi Christian.
All right, Ben, your number... Well, let me just start with six then for me.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Number six.
Number six, a movie that came out just last year, 2013, The Wolverine.
Yeah, that's bad.
I hate this movie. And I extra hate it because if you don't know the backstory, for my bachelor party, we were kind of running out of things to do and my wedding was approaching... So I like to go see movies. I like to go see superhero movies. I didn't really ever want to see Wolverine, and I would not have seen this in a theater if it wasn't for the bachelor party.
That
was coming up. And so I was like, all right, let's just go do this and get some food. So
it was a lot of fun going out to Broadway Pizza and ripping it together afterwards.
Yeah, no one that was there liked it, right? Do you remember?
Daniel, I think, recognized it was a terrible movie, but still liked it because he likes Wolverine.
Yeah. So... I just have such bad memories associated with seeing this movie.
It's so boring.
And I think we did a quick review of it that lasted about 2 minutes because we just didn't want to give it any more time.
Yeah.
So you can watch for that time loop in 2017.
Yeah, I remember a guy got up from the bathroom like 20, 30 minutes in. And as I was coming back into the theater, Kobe was coming out to go to the bathroom and I stopped him. I said, do you have any idea what this movie's about? He said, no. It's just so bad. Like nothing... was happening.
I don't get why people like this one more than the first one. I know you haven't seen it, but comparatively, I was actually more interested in X-Men Origins.
It's tough to imagine this being better or worse or whatever.
So, all right. Your number five.
My number five, The Wolverine.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's the bottom of the barrel. It's bad.
I mean, most people wouldn't agree with us on that. I honestly don't see it. So
all right. Number five for you.
Yep, number five for me is X-Men 3, The Last Stand. This is one movie where... Oh, it came out in 2006. This is a movie where I was literally laughing out loud at the poor dialogue. I don't usually really nitpick things live in the theater, but I couldn't handle this movie. It was that bad. And I've never seen it again since.
Yeah, I haven't seen it from such theaters either. Not a good movie.
Do you have any further?
Well, maybe.
Oh, yeah,
my number
four.
X-Men The Last Stand.
I kind of figured it was coming up.
Yeah, Brett Ratner's a hack.
Okay, so this is what I started saying earlier. I heard it wasn't 100% his fault because Matthew Vaughn left during pre-production. They brought Brett Ratner on. as kind of a guy who was available and would do
anything for money.
Would do basically an average job. He could get the job done.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, basically he's... I know that we put a lot of blame on him. I don't think it was all on him. Because Bryan Singer left to do Superman Returns. Matthew Vaughn came on and left. Brett Ratner came on. What's done is done.
Well, it was certainly no Rush Hour 2.
That's true.
Number 4? Number 3? Number 4?
Yeah, we're on number 4 for me, which is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
And I think we're going to have an identical list from here on out.
From 2009. So, people hate this movie. Like, really hate it. And I don't think it's that bad. I've seen it 1.5 times. The half because it happened to be on TV when I was at a hotel once and I watched a little bit of it. I just don't hate it. It doesn't line up well with the comics. It doesn't line up well with any of the other X-Men movies or their hopes for doing future movies when it comes to characters like Deadpool. They super ruined. But I think it's fine. So I'll make it my number 4. All right, number 3, Ben.
Well, should we say it together? X-Men!
From 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I mention X-Men Origins Wolverine 2009?
Yeah.
So 9 years earlier, we have the first X-Men movie, which we talked about a little
bit.
It's
a very adequate movie.
I haven't seen it since early 2000s.
I haven't watched it in a long time either. I mean, I don't think it would hold up that well. I don't think it's a great movie. It's not a terrible movie. It did what it needed to do, which is show that it's possible to make superhero movies without them being Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
That was its mission. It accomplished it. The end.
I agree. I think it was an important movie, but not a great movie.
Yeah.
Number 2, X2. X-Men United.
Yeah.
Came out in 2003, and for years, this was my favorite superhero movie.
I think this movie is vastly overrated.
Now that I've gone back and watched it, compared to other movies on the full superhero
yeah.
list, I still really like it, but I do see some...
I'm not saying it's bad.
There are
it's not a bad movie.
There are some things maybe I didn't pick up on as much when I watched it in years past, but I just watched the first 40 minutes of it last night.
Yeah.
And still really liked it. The Nightcrawler scene that opens up the movie was awesome. Wolverine goes all berserker and saves some kids in the mansion from some soldiers, so that was awesome. I'm liking it so far.
I think the movie goes a little too long, and it never really does. I mean, I think like a lot of Bryan Singer movies, it's very okay. It doesn't really get to that next level of being just, oh, this is amazing.
Number 1, Ben. Go ahead and say
Last Stand or First Class.
Oh, no.
That was a Freudian slip.
It's interesting, though. Last Stand, First Class. Yeah. Okay, so First Class. This is just a great movie in general.
Yeah, I love this movie.
It had kind of, you know, I love that it was a period piece.
Yep.
I said this earlier, but I think the director just did amazing at setting the scene in that time period. Casting was great. Even the artistic way they shot certain scenes when it comes to the colors they used for certain characters and the motifs and themes.
Yeah, it was just a phenomenal movie. Great acting.
Other than January Jones.
Oh, yeah, she was rough.
But I think they realized the problem. They took her out of the next movie.
Yeah. I mean, Betty ruins everything.
In Mad Men, she's also my least favorite.
Yeah, she's a terrible person.
Is she a bad actress, or is that just the type of character she plays?
We're
talking about Emma Frost here. She just was robotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is your favorite character in First Class?
Oh, man. Favorite character, I'd have to think about a little bit more. My favorite role, though, is Michael Fassbender. I think he knocked it out of the park as Magneto.
That's my choice. Yeah. Favorite character / person in the movie, Magneto. I love the beginning of the movie where you kind of see his origin story. Well, we've talked about this before, but you know, they wanted to do sort of a bunch of these X-Men origins.
Yeah.
And we had Wolverine, and then the next one was going to be Magneto, and they maybe talked about doing Storm. And so basically what was going to be X-Men Origins Magneto became a good chunk of First Class. And it was great. Those are the best parts, where basically Eric... What's Magneto's real name? Eric was a spy.
Eric Fassbender.
Nope. Eric Lesher?
Fassbender.
Okay. Yeah, so Eric was sort of a spy, but he's also sort of an assassin. He's trying to get revenge for what happened to his parents. He's against the Nazis, and everybody can get on board with that.
Hate those guys.
And, I mean, in this movie, like I said, I just watched it again. Some of the dialogue when it comes to how he compares what happened to the Jewish people during the Nazis' reign, and how the same thing with people in power could hurt a small subsection of people, talking about the mutants. How so Magneto was ready to take a stand against that before it happened again.
Yeah.
So really, the whole thing makes a lot of sense on why he is the villain, in quotes. Because, I mean, that's why I don't know that Professor X's vision would ever really happen, where humans just live in peace and accept that they're safe around mutants.
It is a bit naive.
That was a great one. Tell me, did you figure out your favorite character yet or not?
Yeah, I already told you.
No, you said your favorite actor was...
Okay, Magneto.
Excellent. Here are some interesting things. With six films released, the X-Men film series is the 15th highest grossing film franchise in history. It's grossed over $2 billion worldwide.
That's not very impressive with six movies out.
The character of Wolverine, played by Hugh Jackman, interesting note here. You may not have realized this. I know we have been talking about the years here, but X-Men 1 came out in 2000, so that means by the time things are all said and done, with the third Wolverine movie coming out in 2017, he'll have played that same character in 8 movies over 17 years.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Even
more than that, right?
No, there's been 6.
And then...
Oh, yeah. You're right.
9 movies.
9 movies over 17...
Wolverine 3 is coming out, everyone. Get excited.
You're right. I think this is interesting. I hope that you do too, Ben. This is kind of my last point before we head towards wrap up. The continuity errors.
Yeah.
Because as I was watching it, I was like, this doesn't line up. They should just, like I was saying before, they should just start over and forget about it.
But I agree.
They didn't, so here we are. I just have a list of under 10 bullet points.
All right.
That's my way of trying to win you over. In X-Men 2000, Charles tells Logan that he met Eric when he was 17. But in First Class, they were in their 30s when they met. And then when I say that, you say error.
Error.
In X-Men The Last Stand and X-Men Origins Wolverine, Charles is seen walking, while in X-Men First Class, he is seen being paralyzed in 1962.
Mistake.
In X-Men from 2000, Charles doesn't know why he can't find Eric with Cerebro, while in X-Men First Class, he witnesses the effects of Magneto's helmet that he got from Sebastian Shaw.
Oops.
In X-Men United X2, Hank McCoy is seen debating a man named Dr. Shaw, which is... while Hank is in human form. But in First Class, we see him transform to his blue form.
Whoops. Scott did that one.
Yeah, he did that
one. No.
Oh, no. Scott Summers and Aurora Monroe, who is Storm, are seen in the 60s as cameos through Cerebro as teenagers, though they would be older in the future films.
Darn it, guys.
Aurora Monroe is seen as a teenager in the 60s and as a little girl in the 70s, though she wasn't included in the final cut of the film of X-Men Origins Wolverine, and only seen in the trailers, it can be presumed it is not Aurora.
So away she goes.
There are 2 Emma Frosts, one seen in the 70s as a teenager and one in the 60s as an adult. Though confirmed by Laura Schuler Donner, that's a producer, the Emma Frost in X-Men Origins Wolverine is not the real Emma Frost and is just named Emma, which is loosely based on the character.
Well, that doesn't... I guess that's not a mistake after all.
Well, they gave her... They call her Emma. They gave her diamond powers. And then they're like, nah, never mind, not you.
Yeah.
2 more left. The X-Mansion in X-Men First Class is not the same as the original building in the original trilogy. However, it can be assumed that it was renovated and expanded to serve as a school.
Plausible.
Finally, in X-Men Last Stand, Moira McTaggart is seen as a British doctor, while in X-Men First Class, she is an American CIA agent.
Good thing nobody ever has the same name.
Oh, see? You figured it out.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, well...
Predictions for Days of Future Past?
Well, I mean, on our last episode during listener feedback, John Wilkerson says, I'm always really optimistic, and then I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to give it a lower grade.
But you're not going to.
No, it's X-Men Days of Future Past. 5.
4. I do think it's going to be good. I am worried it's going to be overstuffed, and it's going to suffer from trying to do too much.
And you and I are saying it this weekend. So we'll be back.
We hope.
We'll be back next week to tell you all about it here on the Sci-Fi Christian. So, Ben, any last words for us before we hit the outro music?
Well, it's good talking X-Men with you. I know a lot of the X-Men. And I could list some more.
Why don't you list some more while we hit the outro music?
I don't know anymore. I might maybe re-list some.
No, come up with some new ones. You can even look at this for some help. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
Hulk.
Signing off.
Spider-Man. Green Girl. Big Guy. I'm out of names. I ain't got nothing. I'm Ben DeBono. Goodbye, everyone. Kind of a raw move that Professor X never invited Peter Parker to be part of the team. He would have fit right in.
I know. I mean, people kind of assume Spider-Man was a mutant, so it'd be like, hello, I'm out there helping Professor X. Why don't you call me up or something?
Major snub.
You know, Peter Parker tried to join the Fantastic Four. They turned him down. All right. Well, so long, folks. Will you say episode 257? Because we did 58.
Oh, my gosh.
I tricked you, remember?
Oh, yeah.
257, excavating.
Days of future past, indeed.
Yeah. Excavating the X-Men.
Episode 257. Excavating the X-Men?
Wait, why a question?
Because we usually say excavating the X-Files.
No, do it over.
All right.
I'll put this at the end.
I think people should know that I was pro-question. Episode 257, excavating the X-Men.
I got distracted and forgot to hit the music. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do it again.
No, that's okay. I think this is good.
Do it again.
Hold on.
Let me...
Stop watching the TV. Episode 257, excavating the X-Men. Three different readings, three different twists.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DeBono, and we are looking for some X-Men.